Hi, guys. So I want to talk to you about some boring things today. Does that sound good? Things like brushing your teeth, putting away your toys, taking a bath. Now, don't worry. The point of a talk is not you should do those things, but rather that we can find happiness in those boring things. Now, those sorts of jobs are called maintenance. Can you say that word? Maintenance. Maintenance. It means caring for the things we already have, which is far less fun than getting something new and exciting. We get something new and exciting, it's shiny, it's fun, it's new. Ooh, look at this thing. Maintenance is looking after the stuff we already have. Washing things, mending things, putting things away. Boring. But did you know the Lord did maintenance tasks when he was in this world? There was one time when he washed his disciples' feet. He, the Lord, took time to scrub dirt off his disciples' feet. Now, we don't have that as a thing in our culture to wash people's feet. But it was a normal thing back then in their culture. What if people had walked for a long time, because if you think, if you'd walked barefoot from your home on a dirt road, your feet would probably have gotten kind of dirty. Even if you were wearing sandals, still kind of dirty. And so, typically, you come to someone's house, they'd give you water, you could wash your feet. And sometimes there'd be a servant there who would wash your feet for you. But your host would never be the one washing your feet. It would be a servant, or you'd wash it yourself. Until the Lord washed his disciples' feet. They had a dinner together, and then it says that the Lord got up and changed his clothes to wash their feet. It says, the Lord rises from supper and lays aside his garments, and taking a linen cloth, girded himself. So he dressed like a servant. Then he pours water into the wash basin and began to wash the feet of his disciples and to wipe them with the linen cloth with which he was girded. So he was dressed like a servant and he's washing 12 people's feet. That would take a long time. He's washing their feet, scrubbing the dirt off. And you can think, they felt strange about this. One of the disciples named Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? You will never wash my feet. No, this is wrong. Don't do this. Mm-mm. But the Lord said, no. You don't understand, it's very important that I wash your feet. And so he let him. He washed all their feet, then he got changed back into his normal clothes, and he talked to them about what he'd just done, because this was a strange and surprising thing for them. He said, if I have washed your feet, being the Lord and teacher, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, you also should do. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So the Lord was teaching them something really important here, that if he, the most important person in the whole world, the God of the universe, could take time to do something to serve some other people, then maybe we should too. You can think, okay, who are the most important people in the world right now? I don't know how you figure that out, but like big, famous, people with lots of power. Even those people are not more important than the Lord. So even those people should be following the Lord's example and being willing to do things to help other people. It's a pretty important example. Now, I need your help here. I want you to use your thumbs to help me know where you're at on different maintenance tasks, okay? So I'll tell you a maintenance task and tell me how much you like that thing. Because some things we like. Some things we're like, eh. Some things, ugh, I hate that. No thank you. So people in the pews can also do this. I'll tell you a thing and you sort of give me a thumb as to where you're at with it. So let's say brushing your teeth. That's sort of a side thumb. It's fine. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. How about taking a shower or bath? You know, like I like that one. I happen to like that one. Doing the dishes? Oh, you like doing the dishes. Yeah, that one. Now, some days I can like it, but other times I do not want to do that thing. How about tidying up a room? Do you like that one too? Okay, that one... Again, depending on the day. So, we just notice that different people have different amounts that they like or don't like different things. And we could think, well, I'm only going to be happy when I get to do things that are double thumbs up. When, like, it's exciting, it's fun, it's new. But we don't get to do things that are exciting and new and fun all the time. A lot of the time we're doing side thumb or even thumbs like this. But the Lord said about doing, I've given you an example, happy are you if you do those things. And we know from the teachings of the new church that anything useful, which includes doing dishes, which includes taking a bath, which includes tidying things up, Anything useful has something happy in it. Happiness in the useful life. There's something joyful in there if we can find it. And so if we can find the way to enjoy something that's like to just there, that's an improvement. Our life will be happier if we can just move that thumb a little bit. Or if something that's here, move it a little bit toward that. I think by following the Lord's example and thinking, if the Lord could do it, then probably I can do it too. And I can find a way to follow the Lord's example and enjoy even the boring things in life. That's a pretty happy life. Amen. The office building where I've been working for the past 3 years in the States is now a pile of rubble. About a month ago, the demolition vehicles rolled up to it and tore it down, and then took the bits away to a dump and leveled it out to turn it into a sports field. Now, don't worry, it was all planned. This was not a rogue act of violence. It was demolished because they're building a new building and have been for the last while right nearby, and that's where we're going to move in soon. But you can imagine that earlier this year, it was a bit strange to be working in this building that we knew was just going to be gone soon. And so there are these questions of, well, how much time do you bother repairing or cleaning that building if you know in a couple months it's all gone? And so you sort of keep it together with duct tape and do as minimal big repairs as you can to just like get through the year, let it be smashed pieces, and we'll move into the new one. But I was realizing that everything we work in this natural world, is kind of like working in a building that's going to be demolished one day. Everything we work to maintain will one day become rubble and dust. The clothes we wear, the cars we drive, the houses we live in, none of those things are going to last for thousands of years. And the same is true for the bodies we inhabit. We try hard to maintain them in relatively good health for as many years as we can, but we know that one day they will fall apart enough that we won't be able to use them anymore. And the Lord, in his mercy and kindness, tries hard to acquaint us with this reality and help us focus on the things that will last. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In this natural world, things are always falling apart, whether it's moth or rust or thieves or weather or age or intentional destruction. And it's lovely to think of laying up a treasure somehow, somewhere, that's not subject to those things, that will last despite all those things. But the way that we do that is not actually by withdrawing from the natural world, but rather by engaging in this natural world environment, despite the fact that everything is going to break one day. The Lord chose each of us and appointed us, and he sends us out into this world that we should go and bear fruit. And he says that fruit will remain because of him. He will make it so that in this world where we're doing stuff with things that fall apart, something will remain if we're doing it right. So let's spend some time today talking about maintenance and how the Lord might help us approach it and hold it differently through his word. As a way of structuring these ideas, if we can hold on to them, first we'll talk about the foundational role that maintenance work plays. Then we'll talk about three qualities we need to do maintenance work, which are humility, courage, and trust. So first, that foundational role of maintenance. I want to read a passage to you from a book called New Jerusalem and Its Heavenly Doctrine, or The Heavenly City. There's different translations of it. And it's talking about the importance of having the basic necessities. We all need to make sure that we have the necessities of life, such as food, clothing, housing, and many other things that are necessary for whatever civic life we are involved in. We need to provide these not only for ourselves, but also for our dependents, and not only for the present time, but also for the future. Since unless we acquire the necessities of life for ourselves, we are not in any condition to exercise charity toward others. We ourselves are instead in need of everything. We all need to provide our bodies with their food and clothing. This needs to come first, but the object is to have a sound mind in a sound body. Further, we all need to provide food for our minds, meaning things that build our intelligence and wisdom. But the object is that our minds will be able to be of service to our fellow citizens, to our community, our country, the church, and therefore the Lord. If we do this, we are providing for our well-being to eternity. It is also like building a house. First, we need to lay the foundation. But the purpose of the foundation is the house. The purpose of the house is the living in it. In order to be of use to our fellow citizens, we need that foundation of having the necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. But the problem with the necessities of life is that you can't just get them once and be done with it. Take food, for example. For some reason, human beings need to eat every day, and even multiple times a day. And so somebody has to decide what to eat, get the food from the shops, schlep it back to the house, prepare the food, clean up from the food afterward, and a few hours later, people are going to be hungry again. Or taking care of these bodies that we've been given. They need a lot of care. They need to be fed and exercised and washed and groomed regularly. They need to get enough sleep. And if they get injured or sick, that involves a whole lot more time, doctor's appointments and medicines and being nursed back to health. It takes a lot of the hours of our day, particularly as we get older. And keeping these things maintained is not the goal in and of itself, but it is the foundation upon which any ability we have to serve other uses is built. If our foundation is unstable, then everything else built on top is going to be unstable too. And so this brings us to the first quality we need to do maintenance work, which is humility, a willingness to work at that most basic level. When the Lord changed into servant's clothes and knelt down to wash his disciples' feet, he was giving us all an example. And as is the case with every single thing the Lord did, there was a deeper meaning to what he was doing. It was a representation of how he can reform us, how he can take his truth and clean up the externals of our lives, our feet, clean off that filthiness of selfishness from us. But he was also, in that action, demonstrating what our attitude should be toward doing the work that needs to be done. It was not beneath him to do manual labor, and it should not be beneath any of us either. If we want to be followers of the Lord, we're going to need to have the humility to get down on our hands and knees and serve each other. And if we really want to serve people in a long-term and sustainable way, we're going to need to have the humility to take care of ourselves too. Some of us are very good at caring for everyone else except for ourselves. And part of what we need to learn is to have the humility, no, I need to care for myself too. Now, one of the challenges with doing manual, humble work for other people is that it's easy to get resentful. You know, I'm doing all of these things, and what are they doing? And so this might be a sign that you need to do some maintenance of relationship. Work with other people around you in your household to say, okay, this isn't feeling fair right now that I'm doing this and you're not doing that. And, you know, there's maintenance work in the relationship too. But here are two other things you might use to work on having that humility, which is to try to connect with gratitude and also to try to connect with a sense of duty. So here are a few suggestions for how you might connect with gratitude in the midst of doing maintenance. When you're having to do that annoying, boring task for the zillionth time, you can try to feel grateful for the fact that you're able-bodied enough to do it. Hey, notice, you can stand at the sink and do dishes. Your knees are working well enough, your back's working well enough, your balance is well enough. There are things to be grateful for as you're doing the dishes. You can feel grateful for things you might take for granted. For example, when you're clearing out the shower drain, you can feel grateful for the miracle that is indoor plumbing. And another thing you might do is to feel grateful for the fact that you get to do something that genuinely is useful. Right? There are plenty of people in this world who feel kind of useless, kind of purposeless, and you don't have to feel that right now because you are doing this boring, nasty, useful task. Lucky you. And a final way you might connect with gratitude is to think of all the people that you know by name and the people you don't know their name who have done work that you are benefiting from and relying on right now. like indoor plumbing. I don't know, it's a little fraught in South Africa, electricity and water and whatever, those sorts of things. But if you turn on the tap and good drinkable water comes out, how many people were involved in making that possible? So as you pour that water to wash the dishes or do the laundry or whatever else, you're able to do that because lots of other people have done important maintenance work too. Another way you can try to connect with humility or willingness to do that base level work is to connect with a sense of duty. Why are you making food for your children who will not like the food? Why are you cleaning up for them afterward when they could just do it themselves? Why are you fighting with them to get them to brush their teeth? Not because you're a martyr or because you're such an unselfish, amazing person, but simply because it's your duty as their mom or their dad to do that thing for them. It's your job. One passage that talks about people who do good things for the right reasons, it says they, quote, take no credit for what they're doing. Since they're not thinking about receiving credit for it, they're thinking about their duty. In their view, acting this way is the right thing for citizens to do. In the same vein, the Lord took his disciples down a notch when he said, he'd given them some things that they were supposed to do, and he said, when you've done all those things which you've been commanded to do, okay, look at me, I did all the things the Lord commanded me to do. He said, when you've done that, say to yourselves, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. We can say to ourselves, I'm not a martyr or a saint for doing these things. I'm just a not very good servant who's trying to have the humility to do my duty to my family, to my God, to my fellow citizens as best I can. That's what I'm trying to do, doing my duty. So those are a few thoughts about humility. Now let's talk about courage. Why does it take courage to do maintenance work? Well, because it takes facing things we don't want to face, facing our ignorance and incompetence. If I have no idea how to deal with that issue, I do not want to go anywhere near that. I prefer doing things I know how to do. But it takes courage to go and try to figure that thing out anyway. It also takes facing how bad things might have gotten. Think of this in relation to house maintenance. Houses have a way of telling us that there might be an issue with something, but maybe you can just ignore it. And maybe you want to ignore it because there's a chance it's a very big, expensive thing that you have to sort out there. And if you don't look at it, maybe it's not an issue. Or maybe you need to have the courage to go look at it and see, what are we dealing with here? Doing maintenance also takes courage because it takes facing the consequences of our past poor decisions. Maintenance of our body, you know, if we're trying to be healthy, we have to face up to the consequences of our past diet and exercise decisions, which maybe were not stellar. Or if we want to tidy up our desk, we have to face our past decisions to ignore that bit of paper and that envelope we didn't open and those things. There are scary things there, and if we have the courage to look at it, we might have to deal with the consequences of the fact we didn't deal with that stuff earlier. We can see someone in the Lord's Word courageously facing all these kinds of things in the story of King Josiah choosing to repair the temple of the house of the Lord. He was a young king, and the kings that had come before him were bad. They had done all sorts of terrible things, worshiping other gods, child sacrifice. Like, the list was long of all the bad things they had done. And people had lost track of the word itself. Like, they didn't know where it was. And along came Josiah and said, we've got this money that was collected for repairing the temple. We should spend it on repairing the temple. And so he gave it to the people, and they began the work on repairing the temple. He said, let them give the money to those who are doing the work, which is in the house of Jehovah, to make firm the cracks of the house. Give the money unto the craftsmen, to the builders, and to the masons, and for buying wood and hewn stones to make the house firm. And then, as they were repairing the house of Jehovah, they found the book of the law. It seems they hadn't read that in a long time. And they could have just taken that book of the law. Oh, this is a precious thing. We'll put it on display somewhere. Isn't it lovely? We found it again. Job done. But instead, they had the courage to open it and read it. And when they read it, Josiah tore his clothes in grief. And this is what happens when we have the courage to do spiritual maintenance work. We sometimes find things that do not reflect well on us, that point out to us, I have not been doing this how I should have been doing it. The Lord wants me to do something different than what I'm doing. I'm causing harm. That's the kind of thing that we find when we have the courage to do this work. And so Josiah had to reckon with what was he going to do now with all the things that they were doing wrong. Now Josiah was told by a prophet evil was coming upon that place. There was the Babylonian army coming to conquer them. But Josiah was told, but because you've done the right thing, you won't see it in your time. It'll come after you. And so Josiah, again, could have said, okay, well, fine. Not my problem. It's going to be future people's problem. I'm all good. But he didn't. He said, no, now's the time. He did everything he could to clean the land up, to get rid of all the harmful practices that people were doing, to get all the people to hear the word and follow the law and do the right thing. And the text says of Josiah, there was not a king like him before him who returned to Jehovah with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his forces, according to all the law of Moses, and not after him arose any like him. So he's an amazing example, a courageous example of someone doing natural and spiritual maintenance work. And maybe we can't find as much courage as Josiah, but maybe we can find enough courage to do something in that way, to face the consequences, whatever they are, of our natural and spiritual lack of maintenance. The third quality we need in order to do maintenance work is trust. Trust that it's worth putting in the effort. And that trust can be hard to find sometimes. Because we can feel like, if the world is going to hell in a handbasket, why bother doing laundry? If so many big things in the world are messed up, what's the point in trying to bring order to my little corner of the world? People use the phrase rearranging chairs on or deck chairs on the Titanic. Why put any effort into getting them all in a row if the whole ship is going down? But maybe our efforts to do stuff in our little corners are not actually meaningless, even if much is going to be falling apart. As an example, relationships also take maintenance and repair. Husbands and wives, parents and children, friends, colleagues. If we want to have good connections with people, we have to put the work in to build and maintain those connections. And it can be hard to find the motivation to do that work when we're not sure if the other person is going to be willing to do that work too. Why should I bother if they're not going to bother? But if neither person's willing to start the work to have the difficult, messy conversation, the relationship may fall into even more disrepair. We have to have the trust that it's worth reaching out, or trust that it's worth trying to repair what was hurt because the Lord says so, because the Lord says forgive, because the Lord says love your neighbor. Regardless of how the other person responds, I'm going to try to do that work. And when we do find the trust to do that work and put work into repairing a relationship, and it works, it can be life-changing. Yes, the world is still a difficult place. Yes, there's still far too much laundry to do. But if we can find people to have companionship and relationship with in our lives, then it's much easier to face the chaos of the world and the pile of laundry. Now, Josiah was explicitly told that his kingdom was going down, and yet he still trusted it was worth getting his people to follow the Lord, at least for the years that he was king. Doing maintenance work is that kind of investment now for the future, not knowing what the future will bring. It's us standing up and saying, this thing, this person, this relationship, this institution is worth keeping around a little bit longer. And I'm going to do my duty to do what I can to keep it going. That's an act of courage. That's an act of humility and trust. And it lays a strong foundation for the Lord to build something eternal on top of it, laying up treasures for us in heaven. Now, as a way of wrapping this up, I want to mention one last quality that we need in our maintenance work, and that's willingness to rest. As I've been talking to you today, you may have been compiling a mental list of all the things that you're going to do when you get home from church today, or maybe all the things that your husband's going to do when you get home from church today. But all of us also need a Sabbath. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Like Martha in the Gospels, we can all get distracted with much serving, and sometimes we need to just spend a little time at the Lord's feet. We need to do our part, and also, the Lord's got this. We can look around this natural world and see lots of things that are falling apart, but we can also look around and see the Lord at work maintaining so many breathtakingly beautiful things. The Lord maintains things by constantly recreating them. As he says in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I am making all things new." But we have to behold it to see that he's making all things new. So at least for a moment, I invite you to take a breath and reflect on this reality. The Lord is making all things new. As you do your work to maintain things, he is maintaining you and making you new at the same time. You can take a break because he's got you. You can cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. Amen.